Hello and welcome back to Luther Witness Podcast. I'm your host, Roy Askins. Today we have something very special for you. We are coming to you from Madrid, Spain, interviewing a couple of our Alliance missionaries here. Before we get to it real quick, I want to give a quick shout out to our podcast partners, KFUO.org, Christ for You, anytime, anywhere, KFUO.org. Check them out and all the wonderful work that they do, proclaiming the gospel via radio and internet podcasts. Now, today, as I mentioned, we have something super special for you. We are here in Madrid, Spain, in the home of Pastor Allison Hinn, who is a missionary here, along with Isaac Machado. I have Eric Lunsford, our Synod's photographer, with us here as well. And we are learning about Alliance missionary and Alliance missionary work. So quick introductions first. Pastor Isaac Machado, how are you?
I'm very well. Thank you.
Pastor Allison Hinn, how are you doing today?
I'm well. Thank you.
And Eric, how about you?
Terrific.
Excellent. So we're going to talk about Alliance missionary work. We're going to talk about work in Spain here in particular, because there's a lot going on here in Spain. But I want to start with kind of your origin stories, where you came from, how you got to this place. So I actually want to start with Pastor Machado, if you could. Tell us a little bit about yourself, where you came from, how you got to, say, become a pastor. Let's just kind of start with that. Where did you, how did you become a pastor and kind of your story there?
Okay. Well, I'm from Venezuela, specifically in Caracas, and I start a program in Venezuela in our Bible Institute in 2010 with Pastor Ted Cray. And then in 2015, I received a scholarship to go to Argentina and to the seminary there. And being there in the seminary was a very good experience for me. I went there first only to know more about theology, but my second week there, I was in love for in the ministry. Well, in 2019, I graduated in the seminary in Dominican Republic and became a pastor.
So were you always interested in being a pastor, or, you know, why did you become a pastor?
Well, at first, no. I have a first career. I'm sound engineer, but
so you could have set this all up for me. You could have done all of this.
Probably. But I remember having this conversation with Pastor Ted Craig in Venezuela, and he encouraged me to start learning about theology. Because at age of 12, I started some classes in our Bible Institute in Venezuela, basic doctrines and St. Paul's life and all that. I really feel in love of the theology and want to learn a little more.
So why did you move from your second career, your first career as a sound engineer? Was there a particular event that kind of moved you from sound engineer into theology and wanting to learn more about theology?
Well, at first, no. I remember being in Venezuela and talk with the director of the seminary in Argentina. And he said something to me. When he was leaving the country, he said to me, next year you will see each other in Argentina in the seminary. And my parents encouraged me to jump into the theology career. And I say, I need to have an opportunity to do this. And well, was God to put me in that correct way. Thank you, God, for that.
That's wonderful. Pastor Hinn, how about yourself? You are also a pastor. Where are you from? Kind of give us your story. How did you become a pastor? Where are you from? All that sort of good stuff.
Okay. I'm from Brazil. Specifically, I'm from a small city in Rio Grande do Sul. The city is Três Passos, a small city. And I studied in Seminary Concordia in Rio Grande do Sul, São Paulo. So I decided in the seminary because my family in the church every day, every weekend, my mom, my father read the Bible devotion in my house, and my father was the leader in the church. And when I was 17, I go to the seminary. So
was your father's leadership really in the home and in the church that was a kind of a guiding factor there?
Yeah, in the home and in the church too. And he helped the pastor of the things or the leadership in the church. So I decide I will go to the seminar, study more for the Bible and talking the of God for other people. And so,
yeah. Tell me, I mean, this is a regular thing we talk about with as many people as we can. I have 7 children, so devotions in the home is a regular thing, very important. Tell me a little bit about what your father did with devotions in the home, how he led your family, as kind of an example for some of our listeners of what faithful devotional life might look like.
Nice. For example, before the breakfast, lunch, and dinner, my father pray. And in Brazil, there is a devotion, and the name is 5 Minutos com Jesus.
Mm-hmm. That's 5 minutes with Jesus, right?
Yes.
Ah,
yeah.
I'm not totally bad at Spanish.
Yeah. Yeah. It's Portuguese.
Oh, it's Portuguese. Yeah. So I even know more Portuguese than I thought I did. Very good. Yeah.
Yes. 5 minutes of Jesus. And every day, my father and my mom read this and with us. And yeah, this is in the day, it was the devotion. And of course, and the worship, every weekends go to the worship together. And my father, and he worked, he talks about the God of the other peoples. And so I appreciate this. So
this is wonderful. One of the things I've often said, that learning to talk with other people about what you believe starts with learning to talk to your family about what you believe. I think that's kind of what you're saying here is, you know, that all goes together. So you went to seminary. After seminary, you became a pastor and you served in Brazil. Where did you serve in Brazil?
I served in Caxias do Sul, Rio Grande do Sul. Was a big church. I served with my coworker in Caxias do Sul. And I served 8 years here. Mm-hmm. And so was a beautiful church, beautiful people, a lot of work. But God said we can move it.
Yes.
Move it for our mission.
Large congregation?
Correct? Yes. Large congregation. Yeah.
Yeah. How many, say, to give context for people in the U.S., how many people would be a large congregation in Brazil?
So in Brazil, in Caxias do Sul specifically, I was in the congregation was 1,000 people. And so it's a large congregation. Mm-hmm. I served with 4 congregation, and so yes, this is a large congregation in Brazil. Yeah,
and you're also married and have a child too, right?
Yeah, yeah. Yes.
Where did you meet your wife?
My wife, I meet my wife in my Pratica Teológica in Goiânia, mm-hmm. Goiás. So I'm married with her. And we have a child, Lauren. She is 6 years.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
And they're with you. We'll talk more about this, but they're here with you in Spain. So, Pastor Machado, did you serve as a pastor in Venezuela at all before coming to Spain?
Well, only I served in Venezuela for 1 month. And I get ordained in September 8, 2019, and October 8th. I was flying to come here to Spain. Yeah, only 1 month.
Only 1 month.
Yeah.
Wow. So how did that happen? How did you get to Spain? What's kind of the story for why Spain was an option for you?
Yeah, well, I never imagined to be pastor or missionary here in Spain, but God put the correct conversations and the correct people in my way. And I remember once in my last year in the seminary, talking with the pastor, talking about my family. I have 2 sisters and one is living here in Spain. And the other was planning to come here to Spain to have a master degree. And well, this pastor said to me, well, you know, next week, the Bishop of Spain is coming to Dominican Republic. I want to have a conversation with him. And we start having a conversation, a nice and beautiful conversation. And I remember at the end of this conversation, the bishop said to me, we want you in Spain. What can we do to have that happen? And I say, well, you need to talk with my congregation, You need to talk with the people that you need to talk. And well, if I receive the call, I will pray, and then I probably will accept. And yeah, I remember in August 2019, I received the invitation to serve as a mission alliance missionary here in Spain.
Can you just briefly for our people define what an alliance missionary is?
Yeah, an alliance missionary is a pastor from other national body. For example, I'm a pastor, a Venezuelan pastor. I was ordained in Venezuela, and we have like an agreement with LCMS to be a missionary to send to another specific national body. For example, here in Spain, I have relationship with, I'm a Venezuelan pastor, but I'm a Spaniard pastor too. I have these two relationship with these two church bodies.
So is the call from Venezuela or from Spain or from the LCMS for that matter?
Well, I receive a call from being a pastor in Venezuela, and I received the invitation from LCMS to be alliance missionary serving in Spain.
Perfect. And for our listeners here, that's a perfect definition of an alliance missionary. I just want to point out that alliance missionaries are supported by Lutheran Church Missouri Synod members. They support this work. It's very key work for the LCMS. So plenty of opportunities that we're going to talk about here in Spain. There's a lot of work going on here in Spain, but plenty of opportunities around the world to do mission work. And this is a way that international partner church bodies of the LCMS are able to support the broader mission of the church by sending their pastors kind of to LCMS mission fields to be supported by LCMS folks. And we'll talk about this a little bit more towards the end. So thank you, Pastor Machado. Pastor Hinn, how did you become a missionary?
So it's the same of the Machado, mm-hmm. Isaac Machado, but the church in Brazil said, we need the pastor for the Alianza, Project Alianza. Mm-hmm. So I said, I am here. So, but the church not said, we move it abroad to Spain. No. So said, okay, now we can text, interview. So, and after this, I received the call for the Spain.
So that's a big jump. You were 8 years in Brazil and then taking a call. Why did you raise your hand when they asked, we're looking for Project Alliance or Alliance Project missionaries? Why did you raise your hand? What was your interest there?
Oh, this is a good question. Yeah. So in Brazil, I was good work in the church. So, but I will the new mission. I knew talk with God for other people, and I decide participate in this project. But it's a good question. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. Quite all right. So there's a lot of work going on here in Spain. We've had the opportunity to travel with you. This is Palm Sunday weekend that we're recording this. And we traveled to three different congregations, one in Barcelona, one here in Madrid, and one in Toledo. But this is just a small tip of the iceberg of all the work that's going on here in Spain. Pastor Machado, you've been here 6 years now, correct?
Yeah.
Kind of give us the broad scope of the work here and with the, help me get this name right, the Lutheran Church of Spain. What's the title of the church body here?
Well, in Spanish is Iglesia Evangélica Luterana Española, Evangelican Lutheran Church in Spain, IEL.
IEL, okay. Yeah. Give us kind of the full context of the work here. What's happening here in Spain?
Well, here in Spain, we are a small church. We are like close at 120 people, but it's spread across the country. This is a big country. In total, we have probably 12 points across the country. And right now we are only four pastors, two full-time pastors, and the others, they need to work in the free time they serve as a pastors. For example, Pastor Han and I, we are in charge of 6 points, including Madrid, that is like the biggest one and the strong congregation that we have here.
Mm-hmm. So you're both in charge of 6 points, or between the two of you, you have six points total?
Well, between the two, we split this 6 points. For example, Madrid and Toledo, that they are close and we live here in Madrid, were in charge, both were in charge of this at this point. And before Pastor Hen arrived here, I was in charge of Galicia, Seville, Logroño, and Barcelona too. And now we split that. Galicia and Seville is now, Pastor Hen is in charge of those points, and me to Logroño and Barcelona. Well, we are receiving a lot of emails from people that other places that we don't have a church, for example, in the island, in Canary Island, we are receiving a lot of people that wants to become a Lutheran, and that's a new challenge. Because we need to take a flight to go there, yeah, it's will be a little complicated, but if we have more help, that will be a good point too.
So you spend a lot of time on trains, is what I'm hearing.
Yes, a lot of.
We definitely saw that in the travels here, you know, Toledo, Barcelona, just a lot of time on trains. When you talk about caring for a congregation, describe what that means. What does it mean to care for a congregation here in Spain? Provide for a congregation, to serve a congregation as a pastor. What does that mean you do?
Well, normally it's take care of the people, talk with them, be for them, talk about the gospel and God, bring the sacraments. Yeah, that's part of the care that we have with the people, even though, for example, we have some small congregations and only probably one big family of 6 or 7 people. And that's important because there are saints of the church, and we need to like be there with them, talk with them, hear their confessions too, and forgive their sins. And yeah, that's part of what we are doing here in Spain.
So what you're saying is that you do everything a normal LCMS missionary does.
Exactly.
In other words, you do everything you would do as a pastor. There's no difference. We use a special term for it to help people understand what this project is, but the work that you do is fundamentally the work of a pastor, caring for God's people.
Exactly.
Proclaiming the gospel. Mm-hmm. You talked a little bit on one of our trips. When you visit these congregations, typically you try to go a couple of days early, right?
Yeah,
and that's to facilitate this opportunity for conversation, correct?
Yeah, exactly. I always say to the people, I'm here, for example, if our divine service is on Saturday, I try to travel on Thursday and say to the people, I'm here, I can talk with you, we can take a coffee, or I can go to your place, I can hear your confession, I can encourage you. And yeah, we receive a lot of people like that you not only do Sunday or divine service and then you take the train and go again to your house. No. They like that you are close to the people and you can talk with them and you can sit and drink a coffee and have a nice conversation like we are having here in this moment.
Yeah. We definitely got a sense of that. And we'll come back to that. I'm going to throw it back over to Pastor Hen here. Pastor Hen, how long have you been an Alliance missionary here in Spain now?
So I am a beginner here. Yeah, six months, yeah.
And you've had a little bit of a difficulty transitioning to Spain. Tell us a little bit about kind of the difficulty with visas and whatnot coming over.
Okay. So I am my visa for missionary, but the consulate in Brazil said my wife and my daughter don't need visa, don't move it abroad with me because my visa is of missionary visa. So it's a specific mission visa. And so my wife, my daughter don't have visa. And now we stay here 3 months. After this, we go move it to 3 months. And the end, in October, my wife returned to Brazil and I can the reoccupation family reoccupation. Mm-hmm. So it's so complicated, but God put here and God made the thing for us. It's good. And so it's complicated, the visa.
Yeah. So what you're saying is you basically, the way the visa law works, you and your family have to leave every 3 months
yeah.
in order to return back, and then you can stay 3 months until you're able to fully finish out the visa process.
Yes.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
And you were in Ireland, correct?
Correct, correct.
But you didn't just sit on your laurels. In other words, you had other things to do. What did you do while you were in Ireland?
So I working with Bible studying in Madrid, online, and with teenager online too, and a Bible course online. And in Ireland, I support other mission with the Lutheran Church too. And Pastor Tapani is here now. He is a pastor in England. So I talk with other people in Ireland, Brazilian people and Spanish people, and I start the mission in Ireland. So God put here and work here.
So you're going to be a multi-country missionary here pretty soon, you know, Ireland and Spain. Getting back to the idea of this community, Eric, you really noticed this when we were in Toledo especially, but you had some great descriptions of kind of the community here in Spain. Talk to us about that.
Absolutely. I noticed right away, and I love to observe and just look, and I love this family connection, right? You guys came in, there was one of the congregation members grilling in the back, right in the backyard. Isaac, I love that you just sat down on a tricycle and just had a lot of fun. That's why I love you so much. And Pastor Hen, there was not a time I didn't see a smile on your face, and your daughter's just playing with the other children there, and it's so close. And then we all come together for this wonderful meal, and we sit, and we haven't skipped a beat, yet I've never met anyone. I just love that. Because you know that you're fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, right? And I mean, and these are your people. These are our people. We're here in this together. And that's what I love, being in the body of Christ together. Is that it though? You know, there's times I have a hard time understanding. I try to translate in my head. I don't do a very good job of that at all. But I know why we are there. We worship together. And we have that life together. Absolutely love that.
Pastor Machado, talking about work in Spain, can you help us or describe for us kind of what are some of the biggest challenges that you face in your work here in Japan, in Spain?
In Spain, yeah. One of the biggest challenges is that we have two extremes here in Spain. This traditional Roman Catholicism in the people, and at the same time, they have a lot of atheists here, and a lot of liberalism here. And when you try to talk about God, about the gospel, you will receive a lot of reject. That happened across the world, but you can see here very strong. But right now, I can say this year, people are trying to connect with something, and really they are trying to find God. And we receive a lot of message, a lot of emails, a lot of texts from our WhatsApp number that people said, hey, we're trying to find God. And we look into your church and we want to like hear what you need to say to us about God. But yeah, a lot of people with this traditional Catholicism and the atheists, it's very strong to with that here in Spain.
Here in Spain. So are you able to respond to all of these when they come in through WhatsApp? Like, how do you respond to these, especially when you have people from all over the country? You know, obviously you want to visit as many as possible, but, you know, how do you keep track of all this? How do you actually respond to all these responses?
Well, thank God now I have help. we can talk with these people, split this, but, well, we take the time. And we answer the questions sometimes, for example, the audios, and Pastor Hank can tell about that. people that send you a voice note for 20 minutes and you need to like hear all what they are saying. But we take some time to talk with the people, to reach out the people, try to connect. Sometimes the people stay in the church. Other time, the people say, well, thank you for your time, but, you know, we are not right now interested. And it's like, well, I will continue praying for you. And we are here. And we never close the door to the people. We say, we are here. And when you want to, like, come again or come back, we are here for you.
So I feel like there's a story about a long audio message here, Pastor Hinn. Well, I think we need to hear this story.
Yeah, sometimes the people send messages and talk about the doctrine, but sometimes it's a small question, or sometimes it's a difficult question, and we need to study more and think about we send this mention, because it's so complicated today talk about some themes.
Teams,
and so complicated for talk about this, and especially in WhatsApp or emails, it's complicated, but it's...
So do you type these messages back, or do you record audio files and send them audio files back?
Yeah.
Alliance missionary work, let's kind of wrap this up, kind of talk now about some of the Alliance missionary work, why it's key here in Spain. Would the Lutheran Church here in Spain, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in Spain, be able to do the amount of work that they're doing now without Alliance missionaries?
Well, the Alliance missionary, it's one part of the work that the Church in Spain is doing. We have two amazing national pastors, our Bishop Felipe Lobo and Pastor Antonio Suarez. They work a lot, but they always said that thank to LCMS to send Alliance missionary to try to reach the people that they cannot do it because of time. And yeah, this is very important to Spain, to this country that have full-time pastors, have Alliance missionary, have missionaries that try to work and spread the gospel across the country.
Is there anything either of you would like to say to the folks of the LCMS or back in the United States who are supporting this work, or an encouragement to them to consider supporting Alliance missionary work?
Well, first, I wanted to say thank you, because thanks you and your support, we can work, we can travel, we can do our work, and don't be... worry about other things that are work that God put us here. Thank you for that. And I encourage the rest of the people and the rest of the people in U.S., if you want to like support this program, do it. It's very good, not only here in Spain, but across the world. And that will be very helpful.
Yeah. My words is the same of the Isaac Machado. And I pray with the church in Madrid and Toledo, in Barcelona, in Spain, in Germany, and other churches can play too, yeah.
Eric, did you have anything you wanted to say to wrap up this wonderful trip we've had here in Spain, seeing this wonderful work of the gospel being proclaimed here?
Oh, it's just a wonderful sight to see both of you. And of course, Pastor Hinn, we've meeting for the first time, but I just absolutely love spending time with you, Pastor Machado. Just a joy to see you again after meeting you first in the seminary all these years ago. I feel like we haven't skipped a beat just coming back. And so it's always good. One thing I love about both of you is that, as I mentioned, whenever I see you both have such a bright smile on your face, for despite all this travel, all this work, you're constantly going. You are so approachable, so generous with your time, and always a delightful smile on your face. I love that you are here for the body of Christ here. And so we'll continue to pray for you, because you guys two are just absolutely loved by our Lord. And I'm so thankful for both of you.
Once again, I also want to thank you two also for taking this time out to caring for U.S. visitors. People don't realize this. When you visit a mission field, and it's actually quite a lot of work for the missionaries on the field. And so I want a huge thank you to both of you for taking time out on a somewhat busy weekend.
Yes.
To care for us and give us the opportunity to see this work here and be able to share this story with folks back home. So for you folks back home, thank you for listening. Once again, these are Alliance missionaries. We're here to tell a couple of stories. One is obviously the work here in Spain of proclaiming the gospel, planting churches, and how our Lord is doing this through the Lutheran Church in Spain and through the pastors and missionaries here, but also in particular Alliance missionaries and the work of Alliance missionaries around the world. These are really great opportunities for international partner churches of the LCMS to participate and assist in the mission of the church around the world, and to be supported by the folks of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod in the great gifts and resources we have been given. So if you're interested in supporting this work further, I actually don't have the links on me right now, but we'll have in the description all the links to mission advancement, phone calls, links to giving links, all that sort of stuff will be in the description here in this video, or not in this video, in this podcast. So thank you again for listening and for learning to look at the world from a Lutheran perspective.